Would I be allowed an animated character?
Oh, you can do what you want.
People bend the rules all the time. You go for it.
Really a superstar name, to be honest. And I was like, thanks. so he was like, I've got an idea. We're going to mix James Dean and Steve McQueen, the movie actors, and link them together, and that's your new stage name. And I was like, what the F?
James McQueen.
Like a school disco, and it'd be like all the year twos, like drinking Panda Pops, like some of them ODing on refreshers, and you're just there, just like, and you're just there, just like singing these songs, and you're just like, come on, year two, can I hear? Yeah, can you hear? And like,
that's how he would have been a laugh.
Tell us a bit more about Mess Around.
Sorry. And fun fact about me, I came second in the high jump at competition in school. So I was like, I can do this. I can get on a pitch. I wish that we could go back now before we used to mess around.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of the You Name It podcast. Today we have obviously a new guest. We have an exciting singer on the books. But first, Ricky, how are we?
I'm not too bad, you know. I've had an interesting week. Okay. I was in part of a murder mystery night this week.
Over Zoom, of course.
There was no breaking COVID laws at all. We did it all over Zoom, and I played a lovely character called Mrs. Withering. So I was in makeup and had a feather boa on, and apparently I was the most suspicious person, but it wasn't me. I wasn't the murderer.
It wasn't you. And did you get makeup the lot, everything?
Yeah, I'll put a picture up if people want to see a picture. I mean, it's quite embarrassing, to be honest, but I think you'd be quite a pretty woman. Can you stop flirting with me? Please.
Oh, right, moving straight away from that.
Oh, yeah, you said the word straight, didn't you? Yeah, I gotta make sure everyone knows about
that. I'm straight, I'm a man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's introduce our guest and get away from that nonsense. Today we have a singer, a songwriter, and a fellow Call of Duty soldier, Mr. Chris Too Far. Chris, how are we, mate?
I'm very well, DJ Morton. How are you?
Oh, right, Chris, don't call him that. Whatever you do not feed his ego anymore, okay? God, he's not a DJ.
I am so glad that you said that, Chris.
I feel kind of embarrassed because I'm not the biggest musician on the podcast today.
Yes. See, I've said this before to Ricky, and he didn't believe me, that everyone in school used to call me DJ Morton. And obviously we went to school together, Chris, and the first thing you introduced me as is DJ Morton. So there you go, Ricardo. Don't turn it down. Big it up.
I'm just coming on this podcast to ask Denver to collab.
I'll piggyback
your success.
I know. People are literally going to be turning this podcast up immediately now that they've heard you say that. They're just going to be like, he told me not to turn it down. Well, it's off now, okay? That's all of you's gone.
Honestly,
right?
This is like episode whatever. We're like 7 or 8 in now. And that's the first time I've mentioned don't turn it down. So you should be proud of that.
It's actually not. It's the second time you did it with Christian James.
I did that.
Episode 4, Christian James, check it out. That's just a split.
Anyway, we're not getting to know Christian. We're getting to know Chris. Well, that's a bit confusing.
We're getting to know Chris Too Far. And I've never met you. This is the first time I've met you, Chris Too Far. So what we like to do before we get into the meat of the podcast is we like to just ask you a few questions about yourself, just 3 simple questions just about you. So Denver is going to kick us off with question 1.
You're really flowing with that meat analogy, aren't you there, Ricky?
Yeah, meat. I love meat.
So the first question for you, Chris, is obviously you being a big singer, who is your music inspiration? Who singer, songwriter, who stands out for you?
For me, it's got to be Michael Jackson and or Freddie Mercury. I know everyone. Nice. I know everyone says that those two guys, but it's just because of the absolute best. Like I feel like that's how I really sort of like found my voice, like singing their songs and trying to like sing like them.
Yeah, and go with them, right?
Not saying that I can, but. Yeah. I just try to get as close as I can to that and then sort of, you know, obviously put my own sort of sound on it. But yeah, it's got to...
Well, that's it, mate. At the end of the day, if you're going to follow someone, you're going to follow the king of pop, aren't you, really?
I mean, the king and queen. The king and queen. You get what I say there? But on that, what is your favourite Queen and Michael Jackson song then? Like, if you said the big influences on you?
I get it.
Michael Jackson probably... Pretty Young Thing, PYT.
Yeah, nice.
And Queen, probably Don't Stop Me Now. Or that one that's like, Love of My Life.
Oh, yeah. That's
I can't remember what it's called now. My head's gone blank.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean,
Is it called Love of My Life?
I think it actually is called Love of My Life. they're wonderful songs that you've picked. And for our next question, Chris, if you didn't know, I am the master of Would You Rather questions. And apparently, you know, some people have been saying that they've been going downhill and that they've not been getting as good. But I think we've got a good one for you today. So, Chris Too Far, would you rather explore the ocean or space?
The ocean. Because space is pretty empty, isn't it?
There's not a lot. Well, that's it, though. But is there? Maybe you could discover aliens and all that sort of stuff.
Maybe. Well, I've got my own sort of personal label called Alien House. So maybe that's the reason.
There you go, mate. There's massive promotion in space with aliens.
Build a house.
For the aliens, there you go.
To be fair, I do get what you're saying about the ocean, because in like I reckon if you go right down to the deep of the ocean, there's probably loads of things that people haven't even like discovered. So it is kind of like space.
Dinosaur.
Yeah, like, I think that'd be pretty cool, just going all the way to the bottom. Or, but I don't know, I'd love to go to space and just go all the way.
Maybe that's where the aliens are hiding.
They're actually under the water.
Yeah. I mean, that would
there you go. An exclusive on the You Name It pod.
Aliens Live Underwater from Denver Morton and Chris Too Far.
Sorry, I'm just getting a call from NASA.
Call from NASA. Oh, you figured us out. Right, finally. Go on.
I was just riffing with two lads.
You were just killing the joke, Ricky.
I was riffing with two lads and the banter was flowing and I was just riffing and I just, yeah.
Let the musicians speak.
Right. No, I want to change my answer because I actually think the ocean is pretty terrifying. So maybe.
he's backtracked here. So you're going to space then instead?
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to the time I watched Jaws.
Okay, yeah, avoiding those sharks.
It was also that
aliens, you could train them to be outside.
It was also that call from NASA as well. They've just called him, he's on the phone, he's going to Mars. he's got to give free promotion here, you know what I mean?
Can I ask a quick question?
Go on.
You know you've got your new little jingle at the start of the podcast.
Yeah.
Is that you, DJ Morton?
Mate. I don't actually know if I want to take credit for it, but no, Ricky, what is the intro?
So Chris Too Far, what we did is I went on a lovely website called Fiverr and I booked a barbershop quartet, and it was just this one woman who I can't remember the name of her. We'll find it out and I will put a link to her because she has helped us so much with that song. And she, I just said to her, this is the style I want. And that's what she came back with. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's the best £15 I've ever spent in my life.
You spent £15?
Yeah.
The website's called Fiverr, mate. You got robbed.
Yeah, but it's one of them, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's worth it.
Not 15,
It's not 15 quid. You could have paid me a fiver and I would have done better. Anyway, I love the theme. I don't know why I'm downplaying it.
When I first heard it.
It is like a jingle at the end of it, like a radio advert. Absolutely. Do you know what? We embraced that. That's exactly the aim we were going for. Chris, we're desperate to find out. What is your favourite supermarket?
I'm going to continue the Morrison streak.
Interesting. Okay. See, we've had a couple of Aldis. We've had a few Morrisons. It seems like it's going to be between those two. But so, tell us why. Tell us why Morrisons.
No, like, really interesting reason. It's just my local.
Just simple as that, because it's a ridiculous question. If anything, people have been answering too much beforehand.
I would say because it's not too far away.
Yes! Ah!
Has anyone ever made that joke to you?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, a few times, yeah. I was waiting how long it was going to be until you did that, Ricky.
Sorry.
10 minutes we got into.
I had to. I'm just a comedian, just riffing, just, you know, we've already got established.
Just riffing, you're loving that term today.
Just riffing.
If I wanted to give you a nice reason, me and my dad go to the Morrison's Cafe every now and again and have nice sort of father-son. Yeah.
Nice. So it's got a bit of nostalgia to it. Yeah. Nice. So that's three for Morrison's.
I also filmed a scene from my music video for my song Mess Around in the Morrison's car park at my local. So that's probably
there
another.
We go. That's an even better reason to pick Morrison's, really, isn't it? But Denver, you cannot count because that's the only second one we've had for Morrison's. So
no, we had David. And Joe.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
don't at me. Don't at me.
Right. So we've got to know you, Chris, and, you know, pick some wonderful answers there. But I think it is time we get into your film and really explore how this film is going to come about. And, you know, me and Denver being the producers of it and, you know, being the directors behind this wonderful production, I think it's fair to say that we need to start with the big question. Who is going to play Chris in this movie?
So I had a think about it long and hard last night, and I was thinking, like, I could go with some, like, sort of someone that's going to fill seats, like a Leonardo DiCaprio or a Brad Pitt or someone like that. And who wouldn't want to be played by those guys?
Yeah.
But realistically, Jay from Inbetweeners.
James Buckley, I believe his name is.
Oh, James.
Because when I was in high school, everyone used to call me, say I look like him. I don't know why, because I never saw it. My hair was sort of similar.
It's the long blonde hair.
Either that, or would I be allowed an animated character?
Oh, you can do what you want.
People bend the rules all the time. You go for it.
Okay, so in that case, maybe Lightning McQueen from the
Pixar animated house. Yes! I'm so happy you've said that, because I did a mastermind with my friends recently and my specialist subject was Cars, Disney Pixar's Cars, and I got every single question right. I'm a big Cars fan, so Lightning McQueen is definitely in this film.
the only thing about that, though, is I might be wrong, but isn't Lightning McQueen a car? So how is the car going to play you? it's the intrigue, but I guess we'll find that as we go on. Well, right, so...
Well, I was thinking Jay could act me, but then he could lip sync the voice actor who is... What's the guy called? Lightning McQueen.
Got you.
So what we've got here, we're getting rid of Owen Wilson, who plays Lightning McQueen, and we're replacing him with James Buckley to play Chris Too Far as a car that is Lightning McQueen, but it's James Buckley. I'm loving this. I love it. I think there's a question is, can we ask why have you picked Lightning McQueen? Is there any specific reason?
There is a specific reason, and that reason is, so when I first got into music, I was like 14, 15 years old. I started writing songs for my sisters who sung at the time and helping them record some of their tracks because they were working with this producer, and he was like, oh, you got a pretty good voice as well. Why don't you like do a song with me? Did a song with him. And he linked me up with his manager who wanted to manage me. And he was like, Chris Atkinson, that's my real name. Atkinson, it's not really a superstar name, to be honest. And I was like, thanks. So he was like, I've got an idea. We're going to mix James Dean and Steve McQueen, the movie actors, and link them together, and that's your new stage name. And I was like, what the F?
James McQueen,
right. So for my, like, a good portion of my school career, I was James McQueen. And
let me tell you something.
No one let me forget it.
Chris, I didn't know. So me and Chris went to sixth form together. It took probably about the full year of my first year there to realise you're not called James. You were Chris Atkinson.
I was really embarrassed by it, but I just went with it because I was like, oh, this like big manager in London wants to manage me, and if he says that that's a good idea, then I was like, okay, let's go with it. And I went into school like the next day, and I went to one of my close friends. Well, I thought it was one of my close friends, and I was like, right, don't tell anyone, but I've got a stage name. And they're like, oh, what is it? And I was like, you can't tell anyone. Okay, tell us. And I was like, okay, it's James McQueen. And they were just like, and then literally like the next day, everyone knew, which is just what happens in school, isn't it?
And James McQueen is obviously, he's passed on. He's no more. And
he's no more.
We're now Chris Too Far. How did that come about?
Sorry, I just want to go back to the James McQueen thing. So every time I'd walk down the corridor, well, not every time, sometimes I'd walk down the corridor, people would be like, McQueen. But then sometimes, if I ran down the corridor, people would go, meow.
I'm so glad we went back for that. We needed that.
I was like, where's he going back to this with?
So is this why Lightning McQueen has to play you? Is this what we're getting here?
I just think it's like full circle, you know.
Yeah. This goes on to the next question, doesn't it? Is this kind of where your music begins then, as you're writing music for your sisters and you gain a manager? Is this the beginning of your story?
I think so. Yeah, that's where I first got into music because I was just curious because they've been singing years before I even sort of considered it, and. When they started working with a producer, I was like, oh, what's going on here? Because he came around to our house to like write songs with them. So I just popped my head around the door and was like, oh, what's going on here? And they were like, oh, do you want to sit in? So I did. And then thought he was really cool. So the next time he came, the next day, I'd written a song and he was like, oh, this is pretty good. Why don't you do some backing vocals? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And did some backing vocals. He was like, oh, you sound pretty good. And then that's basically how
you kind of fell into it because your sisters were doing it.
Yeah, so it's all thanks to them, really.
Nice. That's brilliant. I never knew that was the story behind James McQueen.
I can't watch Cars anymore. If I Without do, my eye twitches. Right.
So we did digress away from it, but tell us how you went from James McQueen. And I know there were different names you tried, but how have we landed with Chris Too Far?
I did want to just have my normal name, Chris Atkinson, for a while. But when searching it on Google, there's a famous rally car driver called Chris Atkinson. And I was
the irony.
Like, yeah, I was like, ah, that's so annoying.
That he was a racing car driver and you were performing as a racing car. It kind of connects, actually.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe that's destiny. I shouldn't be a singer. I should be a car racer. Animation. But yeah, like, it would probably take me a long time to surpass rally car driver Chris Atkinson on Google. So I just thought, okay, let's just scrap that.
Yeah. Nice. So what happened in this kind of where you are now, and obviously you've got your own music and all of that. Tell us a bit more about how kind of James McQueen, Chris Atkinson, you as a singer, how did that kind of pursue? How did you pursue it further? Because I know you did stuff like you did different tours within schools. You, like you just said there, you got your first manager. So tell us a bit more about that, the teen years, as you will.
Yeah, so, well, as we've established, my school career was a bit weird. So I basically, when I started sixth form, when I'm at U Denver, I only stuck around for the first year, and then I just decided to sack it off because I had a new manager at this time who wanted to take me on tour. So dropped out of sixth form, bit of a hot-headed decision, but I just went with it because I just thought F school,
yeah,
like, hate it. So I decided to go touring with this guy. We went around basically, hundreds and hundreds of high schools around the UK.
Doing shows. What was it that you did when you said, because when we saw this, it's nothing we ever knew. So it's secondary schools. So what was it? Did they have a gig in your life?
Apparently a lot of artists start out doing that. They go around and they tour the high schools. And the idea behind it is, one, it obviously gets you exposure and hopefully gets you some fans. And two, you perform in an assembly environment. So it's like, it's supposedly like one of the hardest gigs you'll do, like performing to grumpy teenagers at like 9 a.m. in the morning, sometimes 8 a.m. in the morning. So it's really difficult to like have a, you know.
Yeah, to kind of keep the momentum of them when they're sat there in assembly and they don't even really want to be there.
They don't care. You have to, and in my show, I had to try and get them like up off their seats and jumping because one of my songs like had like a jump part to it.
Yeah.
So like sometimes it worked fine. Like I'd manage to get them up, but I'd find that the older the audience was, sometimes I did like year sevens, sometimes I did, and then sometimes I did sixth formers, and the younger they were, it was easier to get them up jumping, obviously because I don't know, more energy or whatever. But then as the older they got, the more grumpy they were.
Yeah.
So it was like, everybody jump.
It's just nothing. But I guess those kind of those crappy gigs help for the much better ones. You kind of have to deal with everything, don't you, as a musician?
Yeah, toughens you up. And if you can do that, then if you do a gig on an evening with alcohol involved, the audience is drinking alcohol, like it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
See,
they're a lot more
stone cold sober grumpy teenagers at 9 a.m.
See, yeah. when I heard that you did primary school gigs, my imagination went wild, and I feel like it's only fair to tell you what I thought a primary school gig was.
Well, first of all, you thought it was primary school, so that's the mistake.
Yeah, I thought it was primary school gigs, and I thought you would go to like a school disco, and it'd be like all the year twos, like drinking Panda Pops, like some of them ODing on refreshers, and you're just there, just like singing these songs, and you're just like, come on, year two, can I hear? Yeah, can you hear? And like,
that's how you would have been a laugh.
I thought there was going to be some. I thought you were going to tell us like I saw some things. It was like, and that's how I imagined it. But clearly, it was just doing a school assembly, which I can imagine must have been horrific. Like, I bet performing school assemblies, because I used to hate school assemblies, and I bet like having people, I bet going in and singing in front of those, like in front of kids who I assume don't want to be there, must have been so hard to win them over. And I guess as a performer, that must have taught you so many lessons at saying that not every audience is going to love you. Do you know what I mean? And I guess that's where you kind of learn how to say that I've just got to keep going, because one day there is going to be this fan base who will eventually come to like me. And because I wanted to bring this up about fan base as well, because when we mentioned that you were coming onto the podcast on our Instagram story, we started to get followed by a lot of Chris Too Far fan accounts. So I just want to ask you, what is that like to have actual fan accounts made about you with just pictures of your face like coming up? Is it really surreal, or how do you feel about it?
It's weird, but it's like, I don't know, it's not weird. I don't know. I don't really think anything of it, to be honest. It's just, I guess it's a compliment that someone wants to copy my, like, you know, copy and paste my content in like a fan account and like do little sort of edits on Photoshop. Like, I don't...
Like, you make a lot of time for them, though, don't you? Because I notice when they do comment on your music videos, after they comment on your pictures, you seem to really take the time out to kind of respond to them and all of that. Did you kind of make sure you have that time for your fans?
Yeah, well, I've had from past experience, like when I did these school gigs, like it was a big lesson. So I basically, after I'd done the gig, I maybe interacted with them with a little bit on Facebook afterwards, and then I just moved on. And then I found, like, if you don't engage with that audience and sort of make them feel special, they'll just move on to someone else who does.
Yeah.
Make them feel that way. If you just treat them as a number like on your Spotify monthly listeners or whatever, and you don't treat them like a human being, then I don't know. I just feel like it's like good karma that's going to come back around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good.
So I try to reply to everyone.
That's a good lesson for Denver, really, because Denver hates our fans. He literally calls them out. he literally calls them out, and we don't have. And the thing is, it's just one person listening usually. So
obviously, like you said, after all of it, there was a stage where you kind of didn't do as much within the music, and then bang, you restarted it all again. You had the pleasure to go over to LA and record some music and everything. What my point is, we get into the big plot twist of the movie. Where was yours? Where was the big defining moment where you went, no, let's have it, let's push it?
Probably sort of after the whole school sort of gigs, after that sort of period. And like I just said, I didn't really do the best job at engaging with the followers that I'd gained. And they sort of one by one sort of disappeared. And I was sort of in a bit of a rut, to be honest. And then I went down to go see my singing teacher. She's a lovely lady called Stevie Lang. She's like sung with Elton John and all these amazing people. She's coached Robbie Williams. And she's an absolute rock star. She was like, I'm going to help you out. I got a buddy coming down from America next week. He's producing the Kooks, the band. He's producing the Kooks, and I'll let you meet him if you want. And I was like, yeah, go on then. Yeah. So I went down to London, met the guy, and we just...
So would say that you moved in your own way?
Yeah. Lol.
Rubbish.
we clicked, and he was like, yeah, come to America and record some songs with me. So I did, and that's where my latest string of singles have come from. So maybe that's my turning point, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a bit more about Mess Around.
What Mess Around is basically about a relationship that's going sour, and it's kind of like reminiscing on you know, when you're in that sort of honeymoon phase of the relationship, when things are easy, and when it was you're just messing around, like not taking things seriously, whereas now things are complicated and messy, and you're arguing and whatnot, and it's just a song about wishing you could go back to that time when things were nicer, essentially. Yeah. But it's kind of like it sounds quite depressing, but the song's actually quite upbeat musically. Yeah. So it's quite interesting.
What style would you call it? What style would you call your music?
I mean, it's hard to put. It's not really nice putting a genre on your music, because you don't really want to put it in a box. But I would say it's pop.
Yeah. It is. It's got that catchy. Yeah, it's got that catchy little pop vibe to it, isn't it? It's got that kind of that toe tapping sort of vibe to it. That's what we were saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So like the instrumental. So my music is quite pop, but I quite like to with my vocal styling to like give it a bit of oomph, a bit of rasp. Yeah. As I said before, very inspired by, you know, Freddie Mercury, Michael Jackson, like adding those sort of little accents here and there, I think is really okay. Cool.
Yeah, nice. What about your second track, Be Like Stars?
Be Like Stars is the only song that isn't written by me, so but we got that song basically fully made when I got to America, and I just heard it, fell in love with it, and they were like, do you want it? And I was like, go on then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that song for me is just about, like, you sort of, you've had the rough section of the breakup, like, you've sort of got past that, you're getting over it, and you're kind of just like, it is what it is, like, it's probably for the best.
One thing that we have really noticed, if you've seen your music videos, is this silhouette that seems to appear in all of them, where they wear like a black morph suit. Is there a meaning behind that, or have you just bought a black morph suit and you need to make your money's worth?
One reason is I just thought it looked cool, quirky, yeah. It's interesting. It sort of catches your eye, like, oh, this is different, as opposed to most other music videos where it's, you know, it's a guy and a girl. It's like, oh, what is this? What does this mean? And I sort of wanted it to be a metaphor for anything, really. Whatever you think about, because music's very subjective. When you like, my song could mean something completely different to me than it means to you. It's just like whatever you feel when you hear the music, you can project that onto this figure. Yeah. For me, it means a lot of things, but I don't really want to go too much into it.
We won't get too deep into it. We're not IBM.
I want to keep a bit of mystery because it's a whole story. All of the songs that I'm releasing, I'm going to like put out eventually in chronological order in an album. So it is a story. And I quite like that this whole podcast is about like a movie, because it could be put in a movie. And one day, who knows? It could be a musical.
We'll make it a movie. We'll make it musical.
A musical movie. I'd watch that. I'd give that a go.
As long as it's not like Cats.
I'm sorry. If you've got Lightning McQueen in the Chris Too Far film, I'm all over this. We've got Lightning McQueen.
As long as it's not too cheesy, it'll be good.
Oh, and we're not promising anything.
You know on cheese graters. You know on cheese graters, you have the different settings. We're just great the fine side.
The fine bit of cheese. I like that.
We're getting the nice cheese into our film here. Like only the nicest cheese. Yeah. Not anything.
None of the slicing on the start. Or that bit that no one ever knows. Yeah. Proper grating. Which, speaking about your movie, that's why you're here. Obviously, you started off as this kind of it was kind of like a teen that kind of fell into it because of your sibling's dream. But in the end, it got you a manager, it got you your touring and all of that. You've been touring now for some years. You must have some ridiculous stories.
Well, as I said, when I was doing these school gigs, it was very much a learning curve. So I made a lot of mistakes. some of them are quite funny to retell. I'll give you a couple. There's loads, but I'll give you some of my highlights or lowlights, depending on how you want to look at it. So for one portion of one section of my show that I did, one particular song, I would jump down off the stage and like go and sing to like someone in the audience, like serenade them sort of one on one. A bit cringy, but it's just what I did.
That's what you gotta do.
So I jumped down and I sort of serenaded someone, and then I would turn around and then jump back on stage and continue the show. And this one particular day, I jumped down off the stage, did my little serenading, la 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 la, turned around, and I didn't realize how high the stage was. It was like really, really tall. Yeah. So I turned around and I was just like, shit, how am I gonna get back on stage? And fun fact about me, I came second in the high jump competition in school. So I was like, I can do this. I can get back on stage and I'm going to impress everyone by how high I can jump. So I was like, right, here we go. One, two, three, prepare to be amazed. I ran.
Are you still mid-song doing this?
I'm singing the song, yeah. And I jump to try and get back on stage and smash both my shins into the edge of the stage and face plant. And I'm pretty sure I made a noise, sounding something like this.
A little yell.
Oh! And then everyone like howling, like the teachers, even the teachers were laughing at me. Even my manager doing the sound was laughing at me. And I was just like,
could you style it out, or did you just have to just get up and start again?
Yeah, I just sort of moonwalked off the stage.
Well, it never happened.
getting an ice pack.
I just continued. I just continued, laughed it off. But yeah, that was embarrassing. But I'm glad it happened because it always makes people laugh.
So the Chris from the start, who was just a singer who didn't even know it, and then slowly started doing the touring, to where you are now, where, well, you've got your fingers in a whole load of pies. You've started to learn different instruments. You're producing your own music. You're learning the different software. You're trying to really kind of get all hands on with it yourself. Is there a particular reason, or is it just that it interests you?
Yeah, quite a few reasons. So one reason is basically time efficiency. So when you have to rely on, when you don't have the skills yourself to do like the production side of it, like when I went to America and I did all these songs, I literally just sang and I wrote lyrics. That was it. So I was relying on others to, you know, put the backing track music to me and mix the vocals and whatnot, add the instruments. And I've got so many songs, I just want to bash them all out. If I was to do it the way I have been doing it, it would take me ages.
Yeah.
So I really want to learn all this stuff myself so I can, you know, put music out more regularly.
Is there a reveal here? Have you got a third track coming in the pipeline soon?
I do, yes. It's another one from America. It's another one from America. It's one of my favorites. That's coming out.
Is that as much as we can find out for now?
I mean, I don't really know what else to say. It's just a really good song.
Do we have a title of the song? Do we have a title?
It's called Addicted.
Addicted. Ooh. You've heard it here first.
That's a Chris Too Far exclusive.
The third single is coming out.
I know, I'm excited for that.
Addicted, it's massive. See, it's, I told you, Ricky,
I don't want to talk about it.
Right, so how does your movie end? Where do you see yourself going here? How have you finished it?
So, I'm not, well, obviously, I'd like a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe, I don't know, I win some sort of, like, music award, like a Brit Award or something, or I get a number one or something like that. But I feel like it'd be better to leave it on a cliffhanger. So I feel like the movie could end here today.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
And the movie ends by, we're sat on this Zoom call now, and we say, oh, this would be a good idea for a movie. And then we all look to the camera at the same time, wink, and then and that's it.
You know what I know. You know what I love about this, Chris, is the fact that we'll be interviewing an animated version of you that is Lightning McQueen, played by James Buckley. So basically, we would be on Zoom to Lightning McQueen, which is phenomenal.
You know the end scene from Fast and Furious when they're like driving off into the sunset.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that sort of thing.
That would be me as Lightning McQueen.
so are you saying that because we are in this cinematic universe that you've created, we're going to have to be animated cars as well?
Yeah, you're part of the story. You're my first proper interview.
And we're absolutely honoured to have you on. So, Chris, we got the ending here that it's going to be very meta where we're on this interview and then we look at the audience and say it's going to be a great film and wink. But I think a big question that we should ask you, so, knowing that you are a big musician, singer, songwriter, is what is going to be your Bond song for this film? Is there a song that stands out? Is it one of your own songs, or is it a song by an artist that you think would really, you know, encapsulate this film that we've created? Skinny Love. Yes. I thought I recognised it. I thought I recognised the name, Skinny Love. Yeah.
But it's not that song. She's got another song called Keeping Your Head Up. You've probably heard it. It goes, hold tight, you're slowly coming.
Yeah.
Let me give me your head up. That one. And I think that's just, I think that could be the soundtrack to most musicians' journey, because it's such like a long road, and it can be so like discouraging at times, because it's like, it's quite a lonely path to take, and you have to keep your head up and have blind faith, and you need to surround yourself with people that keep your head up and keep you going. And I feel like my story, all my songs, like that, like I said, are in chronological order. It's very much like about my story, like sort of, you know, struggling to pursue this dream sort of thing. Sounds very cheesy saying it like that, but that's what it is.
I think that's a really nice message. And I think like looking at the support you've got so far with a younger audience and going to all these schools and stuff like that, I think a really good message that you're saying is that if you want to follow your dreams and be a musician, and like obviously we talk to actors and a lot of people in the creative industry, it is about keeping your head up. And I think, is this a message that you want to say to your like people who listen to you or anyone who follows your work? Is it about saying, look, it's not about you know, writing the best songs all the time. It's just about keep going. It's about learning how to fail, but learning how to fail again and again until eventually you keep winning. Is this something that you want to use as a motive throughout your work?
Yeah, definitely. Like that, like you just said. But and also, it could be anything. Like it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be, you know, chasing your dream. It could literally just be, I don't know, literally anything. That's why I like to use the figure in my music, because I don't want my music to just sort of be about one thing. I want you to listen to it and you could, it's endless sort of meanings it could have. So like my reason for choosing this title, like, yes, it's about keeping my head up, keep on, you know, pushing forward to achieve your dream, but it's also about the actual story that I'm telling in my music, which is it's basically sort of like a guide to sort of first love and relationships and sort of navigating that as a young man who's not been through it before, and going through like heartbreak for the first time and stuff. And I'm kind of just trying to create a guide so other sort of people going through that for the first time don't sort of feel so alone, and they can sort of come to my music and use that if they're going through a tough time.
Did we hear the title within that as well? What is the title?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe just calling it Too Far.
yes, I like that. Ended it.
Straight to the point.
We know what it's about. We've got Lightning McQueen in Too Far, and it ends with this beautiful scene of this podcast of animated cars. I feel like we need to recreate this. We have to.
I was just about to say, we have to do it now, don't we?
Yeah.
So, what are me and Mickey in this? What do you can play yourself, who would be played by James Buckley / a car? But yeah, let's rehearse it. So, what are our lines?
Someone say, oh, this would be a great idea for a movie.
Okay.
And then we all look at the camera and wink.
Okay, I'll say the line, because I am the more experienced actor in the room here, and I feel like I can bring the gravitas to the role. So I will look directly at the camera, and it's very Avengers, this, isn't it? I think this
isn't this a podcast. No one's going to be able to
see this. No one's going to be seeing this anyway.
Don't worry, I've got the screenshot ready.
Okay, then we'll look off into the distance. So.
Okay, we need to. I think this would make a good movie. We didn't win.
That was awful.
Chris! And on that note, mate, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for including us in the movie.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. And it's been a pleasure to have you on. And I'll tell you what, if you want to do us an exclusive, I really enjoyed you singing the Birdie song. So if you ever get a bit of spare time, I think you should do a cover of that. That was really nice, that little bit you did there. So if you want to do a little exclusive for us, and we'll post that cover on our page, actually have a singer do their own song, I'd love to hear a full version of that, mate. So,
yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, absolutely.
If you've got the time, if you haven't got the time, then don't worry. But if you've got time
we're all stuck inside. So yeah.
We also ask if you can sing our theme tune as well. We ask all performers. We're trying to get the best theme out. We're sending one theme to the DJ. We've got one to the singer. We want to see what we can get.
So we'll give you creative license to do what you want. If you can give us a song or anything like that, Chris, and we'll post it everywhere for you. That would be unbelievable and exclusive for the You Name It podcast right here. But it's been a pleasure to have you on, mate, and I wish you the absolute best of luck, and I hope you have a wonderful, I was going to say life, but you just have a wonderful rest.
Have a wonderful life too. Sounds like we're never going to see each other again.
No, this is it. This is it. This is done. Yeah. The movie's ended now. But yeah, see you later. You Name It with Denver and Ricky.